Dear ones, for this morning's reading, for our meditation, I desire that we would turn and read from the first epistle of John, chapter number 3. The first epistle of John, chapter number 3. Любезне желаем да се прочита за Божјом помоћу из прва посланица Јованова, трећа глава. Прва посланица Јованова, трећа глава. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sins transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. May God bless our readings, dear ones, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, as we have gathered together in this chapter that we have read, the heading in the Bible before me on this chapter says the children of God. It speaks about the children of God. And I was actually moved last night. In a closing prayer, there's a brother who I believe gave a very heartfelt prayer, and he thanked God for the day that he gave us yesterday. And something that he mentioned really struck me. He says that, thank God for the day for those who don't know him, who don't know God, that they had another day in which to come to him. God in his mercy gave another day. And then he also said for the believer that he gave us another day in which we could look inward. To look inward. And so, dear ones, as we consider that prayer, a prayer that all of us have prayed together, thanking God that he gave us a day that we could look inward, giving thanks for a day that the unbeliever has a day to come to him, to learn of him, to repent, to give himself to the Lord. Do we just take for granted these days that he gives us? John here is an aged apostle now. These writings are written after Paul's epistles are already very well known. And all the principles of faith and sanctification that are written therein. John here writes in such absolutes. There's no muddy area. There's no gray area. There's nothing but truth and lies. There's nothing but light and darkness. There's nothing but God and the devil. It's all absolutes. There's nothing in the middle. There's a great gulf fixed between all of these absolutes that John speaks of. And in his writings, behind all these writings, there are false teachers looking in some manner to try to bring in a different element, a gray matter, something that is not absolute, something between the devil and God, something between light and darkness, something between truth and a lie. And those are all readily, hotly condemned. And so we live in a world that is the exact same as it was back then. There are deceivers today. That's the Lord has focused on deceivers. The apostles focused on deceivers. They warned us. They warn us over and over again, be careful. Know the Lord. Look upon him. And in this chapter, we actually have verses that talk about seeing him. And what that does when we see him, it's a sanctifying vision. I just happened to sit down this morning as I opened a hymnal. It turned to hymn 139 where it says, As if we him were seeing, we live thus day by day, and joy attends our way. So, as if we him were so, as we see him, joy attends our way. And we live day by day as if we're seeing him. What does Paul say about seeing him? Paul says in Corinthians, he says, we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, what do we see? The glory of God. The glory of the Lord. And what does he say that does? He goes, and then we are changed into the same thing, into the same image. We look and we see the Lord. The glory of the Lord. And we're changed. So, a look that in the Old Testament says that if when they looked upon the serpent, it was a look that saved. This tells us a look upon Jesus is a look that sanctifies us. It changes us. It says, and we are changed into what? The same image. So, we are being conformed into the image of our dear Lord. When we look on him, do we see him? Do we see him? Do we even fix our eyes upon him? It says, in the same image from glory to glory, even as, who does this? The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord changes us. This is the new birth that is spoken of by this very apostle. And he speaks of the glory of God. He speaks of the love of God. He says, behold what manner of love the Father It's Jesus Christ who introduced this word. God was never known as a father until Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." And he says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." What? That we would be called the sons of God. The sons of God. We are in a family. We know what being in a family means. We know what love a father will bestow upon his child. He will help that child, mold him, teach him, instruct him, make plans for him, with him. This is the image that we have of our Father who bestowed his love. The only words that can describe God is love. Yes, he is holy. Yes, he is righteous. Yes, all these things. But the defining terminology that we can speak of, who is God? God is love. And dear ones, my fear is that we today will use that as an excuse. And more than an excuse, as a disregard of his holiness. Jesus, it says, was made manifest. He was God in the flesh. He came to show us who God is in the flesh. He showed us. This same apostle saw Jesus in the flesh. He saw every good work when he was with him. He saw him. He saw him go to little children and kneel down and lift them up and bless them. He saw Jesus when he really congratulated the woman that came and touched his garment to be healed by him. He saw him when he fed the thousands, the multitudes. He saw him when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He saw these miracles and everything he saw. But he also saw the look in his eye when he told the rich young ruler, "Sell everything that you have. Sell it all. Nothing is worth standing in the way between me and you. There's nothing that is of value, that is worth holding on to. Get rid of it all. Get rid of it." And he saw that look in Jesus' eye when that man turned around and walked away from him, the Lord of glory, the one who gives him that light, that very breath and the strength and the legs with which he can walk away from him. But it tells us in Revelation, when he saw him, and it describes him. He says, "When I saw him," when it describes him in his glory, "his countenance was the sun that shineth in his strength." He says, "I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." This is holiness. Daniel says the same thing. Isaiah said the same thing. Isaiah, who had brought out woe after woe as a prophet upon those who refused to follow Jesus, who refused God and put him asunder, put him away. When he saw him high and lifted up, he says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." This is the holiness of God. When we have examples in Scripture as men of God who love their Lord, fall is dead before him. This is John, who saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He falls at his feet as dead. This is the one that we will stand before. As the closing words of this book say, "He cometh to give every man according to his works as they shall be." That's it. And so today, John is speaking in absolutes. Life, death, light, darkness. Truth and a lie. There's nothing in between any of this. The God and the devil. There's nothing in between. Anything else, the money of the rich young ruler was his God. Which is the devil. Because Jesus said that the root of all evil. Well, who is evil? Where does evil come from? The only source is the devil. And the root, that love of money, the root of it is coming from the evil one. So there's only God and the devil. And so anytime we walk away from the absolutes of God's word, we turn our back to him as the rich young ruler did. We turn our back to the Lord of glory and we walk straight towards the devil. And we go into his arms. As we walk away from the arms, the loving arms, the one who was made manifest on this earth, who showed us absolute perfection. Walk away from him to follow a lie, darkness. You know, even as the brother just led us in prayer, he said that the Lord causes his sun to shine upon the righteous and the unrighteous. And that oftentimes, dear ones, we use as a affirmation. Many men use that as an affirmation that, look, God is looking down upon me. Look, he's done this and this for me. God is good with me. He's happy with me. His goodness gives it to all man. His love is shown towards all man. We are all his creation. And he loves all of us the same. And he says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are either the sons of God or the sons, because Jesus himself said, your father is the devil. Are we sons of God or are we sons of the devil? Are we going to say, my father? Are we going to pray to the devil, my father? No, we would never do that, right? Why not? Why can we turn our back so easily upon the absolutes of the truths of God's word and still call him our Father? Why? What does that? Deceit. Deceitfulness. Lies. Anything that the devil can do to make inroads into our hearts and into our lives, to tempt us, to sway us, to deceive us, to cause us to run into his arms while we think we're in the arms of Jesus. Because John here says, he says, every man that has this hope in him, okay, he speaks of, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So we're speaking now of seeing Jesus in heaven. Our eyes shall see him. This is the pinnacle of our salvation. This is, dear ones, you know, the word describes heaven in words that we have no idea what it even means. Crystal shores, gold-lined streets, and a splendor that is tried to put into some kind of word. Does that excite us? What ought to excite us is that we shall see him. We will see him. And when we see him, it says here, we shall be like him. As Jesus was in his resurrected body, so we will receive the resurrected body, incorruptible, perfect. And we will be with him. Ahead of the that light that doesn't need the sun. We will be like him. But here on this earth, as we see him, Paul saw him. When Saul saw him, he saw him with eyes that were blinded. Yet he saw him. What did he say? He tells, who was it, Agrippa? Or he says, I was, that vision, that heavenly vision, he says, I did not ignore that. Something along those lines. He said, I didn't just put that aside. What did he say? He says, Lord, Lord, what will thou have me to do? When we see him with our eyes of faith, one has to believe on him in order to see him. And when we see him, we are changed. We are changed. We are no longer living for ourselves. This is the new birth. This is the new man. This is the empowerment. He is the source. He is the force of all love and power, transformation. He is all. He is righteous, and so we are righteous. He does those things in us, so he would receive the glory and never us. Whenever I do something, and I think, oh, did someone see me? Does someone know? Does someone, oh, you did a good job. Yeah. We received our praise. We'll receive nothing from God. When we want something, that doesn't mean that when we encourage someone, that now, we've encouraged someone, and now they've received their praise. When we are looking for praise from man, that means the praise from God is insufficient for us. I want it in these fleeting moments of life. I want it now. We'll get it now, but we won't get it then. Because why? We don't know him. We don't see him. Because if we saw him, it would change us into his image. Everything that Jesus did glorified the Father. Everything. Everything that we do must glorify the Father. If it glorifies us, we receive their reward. He says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do I have a hope? Do you have a hope? Do you hope? Do you have a hope that when this life is over, I will see him? I will see his face. I will be like him. I have that hope. If we have that hope, John says, if you have that hope, then you are to purify yourself. How? Even as he is pure. You know, as I mentioned in the beginning of the message, we were given another day to look inwardly. To look inwardly. When I look inwardly, dear ones, am I concerned with what I see? Am I concerned with who I am? Or am I somewhere in the middle of absolutes? A middle which really does is a gulf in which I'm drowning in and dying in. But when I look upon the deeds of my day, and I see, as John later is writing here, whosoever abides in him sinneth not. No. Now we say, okay, what now? What now? We cannot live in sin. Dear ones, when we fail, it says here, we purify ourselves. I do not excuse my sin. I do not excuse that fleeting moment of anger that rose up in my heart. Because later on, he talks about what that anger is. It's a hatred. You know, how do you ever get angry with someone that you love? Can you get angry at God? Can you get angry? We'll get frustrated. So, but anger? It says anger is what slew Abel. Why? Because Abel's deeds were righteous. Cain's were unright. Abel was really the first martyr. Because of his righteous deeds, he was killed by his brother, who was envious and didn't like, because it exposed his works. And why does it say here, there's no way we'll have time to go through this chapter. It's just something that there was we should read over and over again. But when we look at his at the writing, he says, little children, don't let any man deceive you. If the one that does righteousness, he is righteous, even as the Lord is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, does that sound so harsh that how dare you even say such things? What are you saying? We're perfect? Are you saying that we never can sin? And I'm just reading what John said, the apostle of Jesus Christ, the one who saw him in his glory and fell down dead at his feet, an apostle who had devoted and given his life to him, who had heard at Jesus when he addressed Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? He heard that exchange. And he says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Do I want to disregard? How am I going to make that fit in my life? The only way I can make it fit is to get rid of it. It doesn't mean that. It means, you know, it just means that we can sin, but of course, we can still pray for forgiveness, and then we can, yes, and that's where it stops. That's where it stops. When we sin, our hearts condemn us, and blessed are we, because God is greater, and he can help us to purify ourselves, so that we don't sin again. Because if we keep sinning, John says, you're of the devil. Why? Because the devil sins from the beginning. And this is why the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, he destroys the works of the devil in my heart, in your heart. He gives us, dear ones, his light, the light of the world, his light, we become that light. So that the sole source of truth, dear ones, I'm going to say this, the sole source of truth comes from his children, who have been endowed with his love, with his light, that we would shine forth. Don't put your light under the bushel. Don't put it under the bushel. Let it shine. How? How are we? Because we are the only source of light to this sin-darkened world. You're not going to get it from the philosophers. You're not going to get it from the governments. You're not going to get it anywhere but from him. And he shines and his children. You are the light. Is it we of ourselves? Of course not. It's Christ who lives in us. And with that, dear ones, he says, whoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. Dwell on that over and over. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot sin. Why? Is it because he is born of God? Dear ones, when I sin and I justify it, I am not God's. I am walking away from him as the rich young ruler did. But when I see myself, and it says here, and every man that has this hope, if I have a hope and I see my sin, what has to happen? Purification. I go to my Lord. I beg and plead. Ask for forgiveness. I repent. I no longer do those things. So that he would then give me that peace once again, which darkness, sin, devil takes away from me. In this, the children of God are manifest. You will see the children of God. You will see the children of God this way, he said, and you will see the children of the devil in this way. By their works. By who they are. You will see, are they from the devil or are they from God? That's it. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. You know what that takes us back to? The prodigal son. That brother that stayed at home. He stayed at home as the good brother, the good one. He didn't go waste his father's inheritance on riotous living, on harlots and whatever. How dare his brother do that and then come back now and think he can be a part of the family? How dare he think that? You see, the far country was in the heart of that brother. And he didn't know God because he didn't love his brother. This is the message that you heard from the beginning. You should love one another. What does it say towards the end here? This is his commandment that we should believe on the name of Jesus, believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. This is the commandment, believe on him. Because when we believe on him, we will love him. When I love him, I will serve him. I will see to it that his commandments are those that I love. I cannot love the devil when I love my Lord. When he is everything to me, I don't love the works of darkness. And he says, and love one another. So this is commandment. You believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. You love one another as he gave commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. So we dwell in Christ. Christ dwells in us. And how do we know this, he says? Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit that he gives unto us. The same Spirit by which we are transformed, sanctified. As we see him, the Spirit gives us this new image. You know, the commandment is so simple in this whole chapter. Its focus is just truth, lie, light, darkness, death, life, God, devil. And he says here, talks about love. And he says, don't love in word. Don't love in word. My little children, he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This blessed apostle saw his master always doing the deeds of love. And he never, never once shirked or turned in any way from truth. Truth. Truth, dear ones. The entire world is confused today because I believe they're finally starting to recognize that you're not going to find truth from the governments. You're not going to find these things anywhere. It's from God and Him alone that there's truth. Why is truth so paramount in the Bible? We don't know what we're hearing. We don't know what we're seeing because everything is about deceit, lies, positioning, this and that. That's why we are told, when you speak, speak truth. Don't try to deceive. Don't try to give a different answer that's going to give a little bit of shade. Shade? It's light and it's darkness. There's no shade. It's a lie or it's truth. And he talks about love, truth. And the commandment is love. Love. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? When we stand at the judgment seat, he says, Jesus says, and I will say unto them, because you didn't buy a house for somebody. No, he doesn't say that. No. He says, I was hungry. You didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me nothing to drink. But, look at what I did do. See, we're resting upon our works. When you rest upon your works, they're filthiness, filthy rags, unrighteousness, no matter how good the deed that is praised by man, by God, there's no love in it. As Paul writes that chapter that just absolutely causes all of us, has to cause us to tremble. Of what it means to love the Lord and what it means not to love Him and still think that you have the works of God and doing something for Him. And you're not doing anything for anything because He says, I was hungry and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. Depart from me. Love would never, as He says here, you have the goods. You have goods. And you can shut your heart off to someone. Well, you know what? The world is full of need. You're going to shut your heart off to those who are in need? Go. I'll pray for you. And you might remember, okay, I'll pray for him. I remember he needed something. I'm not going to give him what I have. He needs to learn to work a little bit harder. Or whatever the excuse might be. And Jesus simply says, I don't know you. Let's not love in word, in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. We know that we have passed from death to life. Death to life. How? How do we know that? He says, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, all of us together, think about this word. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I have great works. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. If you don't love your brother, a family of God, disregard some, marginalize someone, not important to you. Maybe he doesn't have anything. Not important to you. You want to run with the rich. You want to be something. That's not love. And it says here, you abide in death. Death. You can't say that beautiful verse that just causes us to just give us such a hope. It says, oh, death, where is your sting? There is no sting, because the sting of death is sin. Jesus took it away. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? There's no victory because there's a resurrection. Well, if you don't love your brother, there is a sting. It's sin. There is a victory. It's death. You can't say, where is it? It's there. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Don't marvel. They hated him. Why? Why would the world hate Jesus? You would think today, if Jesus appeared on the scene and just started doing all these marvelous works, what's there to hate? Truth. Exposing ourselves. Man hates to be exposed. He will hate a preacher for it. He will hate Jesus for it. He will hate his mother and father. He will hate anybody, anyone who exposes him. How dare you expose me, who I am? You're the one that's this. You're that. You're. When he exposed man's hearts to them, they hated him. They hated him. And so, dear ones, it's truth. Love the truth. Love the Lord. He is truth. And he will lead us and give us a hope. And he will change us into his image if we see him. The question for all of us now today, dear ones, do I see my Lord? Because if I see him, I believe in him. If I believe in him, I love him. If I love him, I hate sin. That's the message. May God impress it upon our hearts, brothers, sisters, friends alike. May God impress upon our hearts the love that he had for us. The one commandment, he says, that I've given you is to love me and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets are right there. Put away all your daydreaming about doing great things. There's dear ones that were in our midst that had no means to do anything great by the world standards. But what they did was great beyond words. They showed us a love of Christ. Poor. Poor. Struggling day to day. In the presence of the Lord now. Their works follow them. Greatness in the sight of God is meekness, love. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.